Well, good morning, friends. How's everybody doing this morning? Hopefully you're doing well. Good to be with you. We are concluding the book of Acts this morning. We got through chapter 27. We've left at a shipwreck with the Apostle Paul. Now, something very interesting about the book of Acts, it ends abruptly, and there's a lot of varying research as to why it ends so abruptly. Some think that this is the point where Luke and Paul separate ways, and what Luke has written has been mostly his own eyewitness account or his research of people who were eyewitnesses. But now, once Paul continues on to Rome, perhaps Luke is not with him. And so it just kind of ends. It just stops. Some think that, you know, that there was a lost piece of papyri, perhaps, that had been written, and it continued. But that one sheet or those two sheets of papyri were lost, and therefore it just kind of abruptly ends. We actually do not know why the book of Acts ends so abruptly. It does. However, there are some, and myself among them, who would say, well, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, Luke's written narrative ends. The book of Acts continues on, hence the title with chapter 29. If you look, there's only 28 chapters, but there are those of us who think that we're living in the 29th chapter, that we are chapter 29, that we continue the message on. In fact, there's a church planting movement, an organization called Acts 29, and it's a global entity, and it's planted churches all over the world, and that's the name of that association. It's not a denomination, but it is an association of churches, church planters, focusing on global church planting, Acts 29. In that way, you and I are the continuation of the story, the continuation. If some titles are the Acts of the Apostles, but we could say the Acts of God, and we are the continuation. We live in the days where through our lives the Acts of God continue. So we left off yesterday in chapter 27, and a shipwreck has happened. Everyone reached the shore in safety. I believe, if we recall, there are 276 passengers and crewmen on board. They all reached the land safely. No lives were lost. So now we pick up in chapter 28 of the book of Acts. Let's get in here and get right at it. It says, once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself to his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." I mean, the assumption was among them that this snake would end Paul's life. But verse 5 says, Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. Now, I mean, it could be, fact of the matter is, that the viper could have been non-venomous. We know there are non-venomous snakes. In their day, they may not have known, because they didn't have the research to know that not all snakes that bite are venomous. Their immediate conclusion was this person, God, the gods, the spirits, the realm is bringing down justice upon this man because he must be a murderer. In fact, Paul had been a murderer in the sense of killing God's people, those who were the followers of the way, pursuing them, persecuting them, giving consent unto their death, in that way making him a murderer. So in that sense, there was some factuality to that, although he would not have been considered an evil murderer. He was considered perhaps among the Jewish people as one bringing justice and eliminating and eradicating heresy and whatnot. So what he was doing would have been accepted among them. But as we continue looking into the text here, he says that Paul simply shook the snake off in the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly just fall over dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. So they go from murderer to god. He was not an evil. He was, but he wasn't. It wasn't like he just murdered someone out of cold blood. It was, he was believed he was doing God's work and what he was doing. But then they thought, oh, he must be a god because the snake does not affect him. Very interesting that this happens. And friends, I mean, I've thought about for years, one of my very first ministries I was a part of, and I'm trying to remember if I was an intern at this point in time or if, and I believe I was only an intern. I wasn't yet on staff at this church, at Christ Evangelical Free Church in Segertown, Pennsylvania, Pastor Dan Moose. And we did the Acts. It might have been the life of Paul for our vacation Bible school, and it was a fantastic time. And I remember having to act out this snake bite. I played Paul, and I had to act out the snake bite. And so this has always stuck with me. I mean, how do we respond when something like this happens? Do we respond in fear or faith? Obviously, it probably wasn't a venomous snake, but something like this happens, and some people just shut your life right down. I got bit by a snake. Oh, dear. You know, well, no, God is bigger than a snake. And so we live in faith and just keep right on churning along, right on chugging along, right on working along, right on serving along, right on sharing along, right on living for Christ right along. And that's exactly what Paul did, just kind of shook it off. Friends, what is there in your life you need to shake off today? I don't know what it might be. I am in these couple days are just absolutely incredibly busy days. There's household stuff to button up before we leave for 3 weeks. There is ministry stuff for Veracity Chapel to button up. We are trying to ramp things up for other ministries and trying to raise some funds for some international support of international works taking place. Just incredibly busy. You know, I've got the things to do, mowing the grass and making sure the garbage is taken out and making sure there's enough dog food around the house. And my first appointment after this is at 7 a.m., followed by another one at 11 a.m., and trying to work all the other work in around. You know, and it could be, and maybe I'm preaching to myself this morning a little bit, but, you know, friends, what is it you need to shake off? Be like Paul, shake it off, friend. Again, maybe talking to myself, because sometimes when all these things are stacked up, I don't like to have all these things stacked up. Probably none of us does. But shake it off. I don't know what you got to shake off. Paul shook the snake off. What's the snake clinging to your hand today? Shake it off in faith. Shake it off just trusting God. Shake it off saying, I've got things for the king to do. I don't have time for this being paralyzed by some snake bite, whatever it is. I'm seeing a comment here, according to everything on my end, my sound is still working. Okay, so it must be on your end. Again, I am live, those listening later on. I do this raw and live with a listening audience, Facebook and YouTube live. So those comments are coming during the live. So everybody's saying good. So Laura, check something maybe on your end there and see. Shake it off. Shake it off. Now, I know that's easy to say. That's easy peasy. That preaches well. You know, it isn't always quite as easy to do that, but sometimes we find ourselves paralyzed and crippled when we don't need to be. I know some things in life are so weighty. I know some things in life are so so difficult, and I get that. But friends, there are a lot of things on a day-to-day basis that some of us allow ourselves to be paralyzed. Shake it off, friend. Shake it off. Okay, enough said about shake it off. Let's continue on and see what happens. Verse 5 said, Paul shook it off. And verse 6, the people expected to see him swell up. Didn't happen. They called him a god. Verse 7, there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. That is a gift that some people have. Wendy and I tend to be more administrators and leaders, and in the sense of organizational in that way. Friends, you have among you at Brassy Chapel a husband and wife team who have an exceptional gift of hospitality with Jacob and Courtney, and they do a phenomenal job. So I just kudos to them. We like to have people in our homes. In our home, we only have one home, just for the record. Don't want it to sound like I'm one of these TV evangelists that has several homes. I've got one right here. Belmont, Maine, corner of Route 3 and Lincolnville Road. Very busy place. But we're busy administrating ministries, and those are that's our gift mix. Publius, on the other hand, here, verse 7, some others of you are like that as well. Monster leaders, and don't feel bad if you don't have an extreme, exceptional gift of hospitality. Verse 7, Publius entertained us hospitably for those 3 days. Verse 8, his father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. Just the idea of prayer. Friends, I encourage us to be people of prayer. Someone has a need, pray for them. Pray for them in the grocery store. Pray them in the little Debbie snack shop called Dollar General. Pray for them in the park. Pray for them on the bridge. The walking bridge I'm talking about. Pray for them on the rail trail. Pray for them in Ocean State job lot. Pray for wherever. Pray for people. It impacts people when we pray for them. The placing out of hands is something that we read about in the book of James, chapter 5. The idea of associating with someone, laying your hands on them. Most often when I pray with somebody, sometimes if I'm praying with a woman in like a grocery store, I won't put my hand on her shoulder because people are like, why is the pastor touching that woman? But if we were in a church setting or a group of people that we know, I might do that. If I'm talking to a man, I might hold his hand and like I'm shaking his hand and hold his arm and pray for him. You don't always have to close your eyes either, friends. Closing your eyes doesn't make prayer more spiritual. What did Paul do? He prayed, placed his hands on him. He was healed. It says, when this happened, the rest of the sick in the island came and were cured, kind of like Jesus. Same thing happened. In verse 10, we read this. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to set sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. So they fixed the boat. I got on the boat, got the supplies they needed, headed to Rome, and we continue. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that we had wintered in the island. Might have even been a different ship. It was an Alexandrian ship with a figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. So because he's giving this detail, it perhaps is a different ship. It says, we put in at Syracuse, not New York, and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail, arrived at Regium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There, we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and to the three taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When they got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. Now, we read some of this. You read about the Forum of Appius and the three taverns, and we think, oh, these phenomenal structures. Well, no. I mean, it could be like three taverns would be like if Rolly's and Bowen Tavern, and we don't have another pub that I and Front Street Pub, if they were all like right in the same little triangular place, and nothing phenomenal about any of those buildings, about the Rolly's building or the Bowen's Tavern building or the yes, you can tell them. If you see them, you can tell them. I was talking about their businesses on my Bible channel or at the Front Street Pub. Any one of those, you tell them that. It'd be like saying we went down by the Harbor Walk and that's the type of thing. I mean, it's just a point of identification. And so we might go there today like, well, where's these grand edifices? Well, they weren't grand edifices. They were just pubs. That's what they were. They were taverns. And that's where they met. That's a place that Luke was able to identify. So it says, the brothers there heard we were coming and traveled as far as to those places at the sight of these men. Paul thanked God and was encouraged. And it says, when we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself. Now, Paul wasn't kept under lock and key. Paul was allowed to live by himself. Paul was able to have guests. Paul was able to write. And in fact, some believe that Paul may have even had to pay for his own place that was rented while he was under guard. And so Paul needed support to be able to... Paul needed support to be able to do that. And so in that way, I also will just mention on this broadcast that I'm very slowly beginning to raise the support. And if you were to go to concentricglobal.org, click on the giving link, and you'll find a place where it will, toward the bottom of the page, where you will see my name listed. I don't show up anywhere else on the page yet. We're working on that. At some point, the next several months, that will happen. There are other bigger things we're trying to work on. But if you want to become a regular supporter through that means, right now, any support that comes in at concentricglobal.org, go and in that fund with my name will be used for international travel. And that's the point of that. And so if you want to become a supporter in that way, as you see there on the in the comments, I would be much appreciative of that. So concentricglobal.org, like Paul, he needed support to do what he did. I need support. We'll need support for the much larger things that I do now on the world stage. So let's continue on in the text. It says, 3 days later, he called them together. I called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, my brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. And that's true. Remember, Herod Agrippa said, I would let you go, except you've appealed to Caesar. You've appealed to Caesar. It says, but when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. I didn't. For this reason, I've asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I'm bound with this chain. They replied, we've not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who've come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. I mean, people thought maybe Paul had died. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect. So they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, and they came in even larger numbers to the place he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Again, for us to learn how to share the gospel out of the Old Testament, even as Paul did. I mean, that... I don't know if there's a book written about that. Maybe that's a book. There's so many books I would like to write. I just don't have time. Some were convinced by what he said, but others will not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made his final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent out to the Gentiles, and they will listen. Now, this really upset the Jewish people. And it says in verse 29, in a parenthetical sense, perhaps not in all of the most reliable manuscripts, but we'll accept it here. After he said this, the Jews left arguing vigorously among themselves. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house. And there it is. Those who believe that Paul rented his house, it says he had to rent his house. He couldn't go out and work, so he had to have support to do this. He welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Bam. The end of the book of Acts. It just stops. I mean, the fact that Paul was communicating the gospel as he was, he just kept on communicating the gospel. He kept on sharing the gospel, and he shared from the Old Testament. He did not share just from his own experience. I mean, with them, he didn't even talk about his experience. He gave his testimony in other places. Now he uses what was the Bible, only the Old Testament, to make argument of the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. We need to be prepared to present a defense, whether it is a defense from the Bible. We have the entirety. We have all 66 books. We need to be prepared. Friend, if you're not prepared, do some research. Do some study. Go Google it. Google the Romans Road. Google how to share Christ. Google how to share your testimony. I've talked about these things and even taught on these things at numerous points along the way, and I want to encourage you, make sure you're equipped. Every Christian ought to be able to share at least their testimony of how they came to faith in Christ. If they can't do that, then what's going on in your life? And that sounds kind of blunt, but it's true. We need to be able to share what Christ has done in our lives, how we came to faith in Christ. That is what we also need to be able to share, and I want to encourage you to be able to share it. On top of that, to be able to share from the Scriptures how you came to faith in Christ, or to share from the Scriptures how Jesus is the Messiah. Now, it just stops here. For us, the inspiration we can take out of verse 31 says, boldly without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus. May the Lord give us boldness to be able to speak, whether it's over lunch, over breakfast. May the Lord give us the ability, some of us, to be able to preach boldly in places where we need to be able to preach. That is some of us, not all of us, but all of us can share testimony. Now, it just ends here. It just stops. Bam. Period. Acts 28:31. It just ends. At the beginning of the broadcast, we talked about maybe a number of the reasons for that. Maybe there's a lost page. Some would say maybe that's the reason. Now, God supersedes, and God is sovereign, so God has allowed it to end as it ends, just bluntly and just suddenly comes to an end. It could be that Luke has completed his mission in saying, this is how the gospel's been carried out among the Jewish people and through the Gentiles and all across Turkey and all across Greece and now all over to Italy, and the gospel's gone that far, and Luke gives his report. It could be. We don't know. Something happened to Luke. We simply do not know. However, Acts 29, that is you and I. We're the ones who continue the mission. We're the ones who continue the Missio Dei, the mission of God. I was doing some listening and some reading here recently, And missions should not be a part of what the local church does. You say what? Missions is what the local church is. We should be totally consumed. God is a missionary God. God is a sending God. And so it isn't here's the youth ministry, here's the missions ministry, here's the children's ministry, here's the women's ministry, here's the men's ministry, here, you know. No, everything we do should flow into what is the mission of God, both locally, regionally, and globally, and how do we carry that out? That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why I've said to our church that as I go, I would love to take people with me. I would love to see our church engaged. Now, I don't think it's the wisest thing to gather up 15 people and get $50,000 and go somewhere. That $50,000 could probably be better spent serving the missionaries in the fields to which we're going to go. For instance, if I could raise about $10,000, that would put a roof and a floor and doors and windows in a church building in South Sudan that would become a hub center for all of the country of South Sudan. Well, for, five of us to travel to South Sudan, that would cost probably $10,000. So it would make more sense for a few to go to South Sudan and raise the money and help them get that building built so that they can expand. And they have already, without any of that, they continue to expand their ministry. But this would exponentially cause things to grow. I would love to see people in our church go to Romania. I'd love to see people in our church go to Guatemala. I would love to see people in our church go to Mexico. Reminder on July 27th, Marco Gudino will be among us at Veracity Chapel sharing. And in that day, we also have a prayer and potluck, and it will have a Hispanic theme. So if you're going to be coming to potluck that day, find a recipe that's Hispanic and give it a whirl. Friends, you and I are Acts 29. We continue the mission. There are still unreached people on planet Earth that we need to be a part of reaching. There are people all around us here in the United States, those of us who live here, those who live in Waldo County, Maine. You know, we need to continue to figure out how will we communicate the gospel so people will listen. There are ways that churches have continued to do the same thing the same way, and we're not reaching new people. Now, the fact is, there might be people who would be resistant to our message, and we need to understand that. But there might be also people that would be open to our message if we would figure out how to communicate it a little bit differently. May we continue the message. May we, as it says of the Apostle Paul, boldly and without hindrance, find ways of communicating the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus. Well, friends, this concludes the book of Acts, and I'm glad to have been a part of this with you. And I want to encourage you over the next 3 weeks, keep growing. Go back through the book of Acts and say, Lord, what application do you want me to make? I'll see you in about 3 weeks after the 6th of August. And until then, be well and walk with Jesus. See you then.